This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. I'm Bernice Ross, the CEO of RealEstateCoach.com, and I'm very happy to welcome our guest today, Byron Van Arsdale. Byron is a master certified coach, and he also heads up our coaching team here at RealEstateCoach.com. Byron joins us today for a timely topic called how to keep your New Year's resolutions and to hit your quarterly business goals. Byron, thank you for being with us today.
Great to be here.
Byron, many people talk about setting SMART goals. What exactly is a SMART goal? And tell us why setting a SMART goal may not necessarily be the best way to succeed.
SMART goals stand for, it's an acronym that stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And let's work down each one of these to help understand why. And it's not that SMART goals are bad, yet most agents are in a place where they don't really want to do, how should I say, mediocre performance. They really want to unleash. They want to accomplish big things. They want to hit big goals. And so the problem is that SMART goals may not necessarily support them being extraordinary in their performance. So let's take each one of these and say why, you know, what works about SMART goals, and then let's talk about why they may not work for agents who really want to have high performance. So S is a specific, and what specific means is that if you're going to set a goal, it just needs to be very specific. Generalized goals will never work no matter what you do. So at least if you're going to set a goal, it must be specific. Two is measurable. So for measurable goals, what they're looking for is, can you actually measure your performance? If you cannot measure your performance, then you have no idea whether you're really getting to your goal or not. So if I say something like, you know, I want to have a fabulous life, well, some great things may happen to me, but I would have no way of knowing that I'm actually moving forward to getting this great life or not. So the goal actually has to be measurable. Achievable is something where you look at, you say, this is something I can achieve. If you set a goal that you can achieve, you really don't push yourself outside of your comfort zone. If you don't push yourself outside your comfort zone, then what you're going to be able to accomplish and how quickly or how, you know, how should I say, how elegantly you'll accomplish your goal could be much, much less. R stands for relevant. So the goal has to mean something to you. If you're going to accomplish it, there has to be some personal connection with you, something you want to accomplish. So the goal must be relevant to you. And finally, time bound. For some people, there's not a large percentage. They're very good at managing their time. They know what they do. They know how they get things done. But for most people, they don't seem to have that strong ability to say, I've got 10 minutes. I'm going to do this, blank out everything else and do it. So this part about the goals being time bound is a way for, over the period that you want to achieve a goal, to be able to look at specific mileposts along the road and say, okay, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. The time bound really helps. So that's the SMART goal. Now, let's talk about why it might not work. It comes down to a couple things. Number one is the achievable. Specific is always good. Measurable is always good. The problem is sometimes you can't measure a goal, but the achievable part is something that really comes into play. So I had a client once who had done very well. She'd done 3 million in sales and she decided that she would bump up to 8 million in sales. And I simply asked her, I said, you know, it seems like 8 million is a little low. I thought, you know, maybe you do much better, you know, something like after going after 16 million in sales. And there was reason I said this because in this particular agent, 3.5 years in the business, she was extremely good. She was learning quickly. She was getting deals done. She was at very high level in terms of $1 million plus homes. So for her getting, you know, from 8 to 16 was not going to be this wild jump, but it was way outside of her comfort zone. And as it turned out, she ended up doing 23 million. But she was kind of stunned when I said, really, I didn't think 8 was big enough. So this part about achievable, one of the things that, you know, Bernice, I believe that almost everyone I know is they don't believe that they can actually accomplish more than they think they can. It usually takes someone outside of them. It could be their broker. It could be their manager. It could be a coach. It could be a spouse. It could be a best friend, you know, or a partner in their business who says, no, we can do much more than that. It's usually someone outside of you who sees it, pushes you for it, asks you for it, and then you're the one left really being able to jump through the hoop. So, you know, my client did a phenomenal job. And she owned, you know, she owned her success on that one. That was not my success. She owned it. But being able to get outside that achievable part is one of them. And the other part about this is that I want to come down to the measurable part. Sometimes what we think we're doing, especially in real estate, is that there are certain times in the years where production goes up. So spring, so winter might be quiet. That would not be true, of course, if we were down in Arizona for snowbirds. But for most people, when there's snow on the ground, the market gets quiet, January is quiet, but spring always seems to jump up. So there's specific times in your business where if you were to measure it out and say, okay, you know, this is, I should be doing 3 deals a month and this is how it should go throughout the years, you know, throughout the year. And after 12 months, I'll do 36 deals. That may not really measure. And I think most agents who have 2 or 3 or 4 years in the business at least would understand that there's hot and cold times. There are other things that impact them.
So Byron, you've been talking about your client who jumped from 3 million to 23 million. That's quite a jump. So if SMART goals don't work, what does work?
Here's a recommendation. It's time to go dumb. And dumb, of course, is an acronym. I want you to be very smart in your business. That's not the goal. But it's time to go dumb. Let me back up a second. Look, setting up a SMART goal is always valuable because it's the thinking that goes into being specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. It's that thinking that helps you discern between what is important, what is not important to you. If you're going to use SMART goals, then I want you to be dumb right after you do your SMART goal. And that is, D stands for double your goal first. Again, I already gave you the example of a client who did this, but I want you to take your specific goal and double it right off the bat. Second, I want you to be unreasonable. That's the U part of it. I want you to assume that you can actually accomplish much more than you think you can. Look, there's a lot of ways to do this, whether you use mastermind groups, whether you have a group of agents that work together, whether you have a coach, whether you have to do this with your manager, whether you do this with your spouse, it doesn't matter. But you can go to these groups who can say, help me be unreasonable. And they're a great source of, strength, a source of, you know, outside viewpoints, and be able to see how you are operating and where you may limit yourself. So again, be unreasonable with yourself. And I want you to go one step further if you're going to be unreasonable. I want you to be unreasonable with others. Look, there are certain people in your life who will not want you to do outrageous success. So if you actually double your goals and they've set SMART goals, they might not feel real comfortable being around you, you know, as you are getting, you know, much, much larger goals than they are. And it's not a right or wrong thing. They're just going to feel uncomfortable. So they may not necessarily support you to do this. So when I say be unreasonable with yourself and with others, what I want you to do is when you feel like someone is kind of trying to hold you back or push you down, very kindly say thank you. And then I just want you to distance yourself from them a little bit. Not completely or 100%, but just realize that that individual may not necessarily support you. So I want you to go find the people who will. In other words, it does it again, your mastermind group, could be your manager, broker owner, it could be other agents, a peer agent that you have, one of your best friends. Just make sure that they push you and they're unreasonable with you. Because look, these are the people that you're going to share your challenges with as you go through the accomplishment of your goal. And you want to have someone sitting there saying, no, come on, I know you can do better than that. Again, most of us do not, we assume that we can't do more than we think we can. And the truth is we are extremely capable of doing extraordinary performance. We just can't do it 100% of the time, but we are definitely capable of doing extraordinary performance. That's something I've learned as a coach over the years. All right, let's go to M. M is move now, think later. And the reason I say this is because this present moment that you have right now is really the only moment you can take action in. We can future project and think about things where we're going to go. We can reflect upon what has happened behind us. So that's all future and past. Or we can visualize where we might go in the future. But it really is only this moment right now. So if, as a practical example, if you've been thinking about prospecting, what I want you to do is pick up the phone, send an email, however you do your prospecting, send out a set of cards, whatever it is that you do for prospecting, just take action right now. And then use reflection later to be able to grow and improve what you're doing. But one of the biggest things where most people get stuck is they want to think about the action they're taking rather than taking the action. And if there's anything I can encourage you out of this entire session, you know, this interview today, is if you will take action right now and then reflect upon it later, you're going to find that you're getting a lot more done. You're going to discover some of the things that you thought may have been tough or hard are much easier than you thought. And you're going to find it far easier to take consistent action, which is exactly what prospecting has to be if you're going to be successful in your business. And finally, let's end up with B. And B is be curious. I just want you to realize this B part of being curious, this is absolutely crucial. The more curious you can get, the more successful you're going to be in achieving larger and larger goals.
Aaron, you've talked about achieving dumb goals. What are some of the benefits of doing so?
SMART goals generally are known as comfortable goals. The achievable part about SMART goals is the part that keeps it comfortable. Dumb goals, on the other hand, are disruptive. The story I just told you about my client who achieved $23 million when she originally set out to achieve $8 million, and I challenged her and said, why don't you go for $16 million? That is an example of a very disruptive approach, and most coaches are really good at doing this. They will say things or ask you to do things that are disruptive, and dumb goals are disruptive. So this disruption, the important part about the disruption is that it actually brings out your best. They're definitely not comfortable. SMART goals are within your comfort zone. And there's a way to talk about comfort zones. I sometimes call it, you know, your known area, your mental sandbox. And inside that area, your known area, you're very comfortable. Dumb goals actually push you outside of what your comfort zone is or outside this mental sandbox in the territory that you're not familiar with. You're not comfortable. You don't know if you can do them. And again, go back. You could look, as soon as you double your goal, what you realize, if you have a slight intake of air and says, what, you know, who, you know, then you know you're outside your mental comfort area. If you're out in that area, you learn. It's fun. You challenge yourself. Those are great things. So three things that happen when you get outside of this mental comfort zone that you have. It's number one is discovery. Discovery is really crucial because discovery is very different. Discovery is actually exciting. It generates interest. It's new skills that you learn. You might try something you've never done before. You can talk to almost any top producer and they will give you, there were some key components through their career where all of a sudden they did something slightly different that just jumped their production. So this idea of discovery is important. Number two, when you're operating outside your comfort zone, it expands your mind. And one of the things that has consistently been traced back to top producers and successful agents is they constantly learn. So you're listening to today's show, and one of the things that is probably true about you is that you consistently grow your mind. So that's the second benefit for being outside your comfort zone, is being able to expand and grow your mind. And then the third part is it's energizing. Look, there's parts of real estate that are just no fun. They're drudgery. They're frustrating. Deals don't happen. You work with clients you don't like, you know, et cetera. So when you're outside and you're discovering something new or expanding yourself, it really is energizing. And that energy is something that you can use to grow your business, grow yourself, and grow your relationships.
Byron, setting goals is great, but what gets in the way for a lot of us is procrastination. How can our listeners go about coping with procrastination in their businesses?
When we look at procrastination, it's very important to kind of clarify what happens. Someone who's procrastinating is generally inward focused. So So they're looking at themselves and generally not happy with what their performance is. So we could, whether we talk about New Year's resolutions, which would be an interesting application for doing dumb goals, or we look at quarterly business goals, it doesn't matter. If you're upset at your procrastination and your focus is inward, when your focus is inward, generally you're being a heck of a lot tougher on yourself than when you're going and blowing and doing deals and everything is working really smooth and you're so busy, you don't even have time to think of procrastination. So this part about being inward focused is very important. Now, one of the challenges around procrastination is actually being able to get out of that position. In other words, sometimes if you get two or three deals all of a sudden working at once, you don't really think about procrastination. You just are running hard to keep up. So if you're going to get out of procrastination, let's go back to the B part in the dumb model, which was be curious. Curiosity is where you're outward focused. In other words, you're curious to discover something new, curious to move to a different direction, or something is unknown to you. So you're no longer inward focused. Now, for agents, the important part about being successful is really about how well you serve your clients. When you're focused on giving service to your clients, again, it's an outward focus on clients. It's not an inward focus on what I'm not doing, what I'm not good at, how many times I didn't accomplish my weight goals, you know, how many times I quit by January 5th, I'd already quit my resolution. In other words, those things about an inward focus do not help us be successful when working with clients in being outward focused. So being of service is an outward focus. Curiosity is a way to be outward focused. And that's the important part about being curious. It's very interesting to see that most people try to fight procrastination with one of three tools, and you may use all three of them, willpower, effort, and discipline. If I just build up my willpower, if I just put enough effort at it, if I were just a little bit more disciplined, I could get this all done. But the problem is that when you're trying to fight procrastination with willpower, effort, and discipline, procrastination actually is going to win in the long haul. Yet, if you shift over to being curious about something, then you quit starting to worry on willpower, effort, or discipline, but you actually use those. So curiosity doesn't require willpower, effort, or discipline. And this is perhaps one of the most important parts about the dumb model. So you really become curious about how you could double your production or whatever your goal is. You become really curious about it. You're going to learn something. You're going to see something. You're going to see opportunities. You're going to change your perspective in a way where you see that you can accomplish something that perhaps didn't look like it was possible to accomplish before. I can't tell you what happened, you know, with my client, how she went from 8 to 16 to 23, but I don't need to know. At the end of it, she was just ecstatic and thrilled that she had accomplished something she didn't think she could accomplish. And primarily, she did it through being curious and through discovery and, of course, nonstop effort. She's an extremely talented agent. So, you know, she did very well, yet she never got in her own way. So there's something about curiosity that changes how we look at things. And the more curious you can become, the less procrastination you will have. Or the way I look at it is curiosity obliterates procrastination.
Byron, you coach real estate agents. What's the biggest challenge that they're facing that you've seen this last year?
Bernice, the biggest issue that I've seen with my clients is that they try to solve the wrong problem. I've seen it over and over and over again. And the problem is when you try to solve the wrong problem, no matter what effort you make, you don't accomplish what you originally set out to do. And generally for real estate agents, it's how do I increase my production? Whatever form it takes, whether it's increasing their lead generation, lead conversion, or their closed transaction, generally that's what they want to accomplish. But when they try to solve the wrong problem, any amount of effort towards it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to feel like they're making headway. Let's use a real life example. One of my clients was only converting 2 out of 9 listing appointments. Her approach was simply to get more appointments with the belief that if she had more appointments, her conversion rate would go up. The challenge is that she was trying to solve the wrong problem here. What really worked for her was when she shifted from doing a listing presentation to doing a listing consultation, and she changed her entire approach about how she went through her listing, her conversion rate went to 7 out of 9. Now, that was a practical example, but let's just give a little simple model here. Simple model that we use is symptom source solution. And here's a practical example of what this looks like. Think back on one of the country fairs and you'll see an old game that they called whack-a-mole. And in whack-a-mole, there were 9 holes and a mole would come out and you would use a mallet to knock it down. And then as soon as you knocked it down, another mole would come out of another hole, and it went on and on and on. When you're trying to solve what we call symptoms or solving the wrong problem, then what happens is it's just like a whack-a-mole, because another quote-unquote problem will pop up in a different area. And when you go to solve that, so you really don't make any progress. The only way when dealing with this whack-a-mole is if you reach around behind it and actually yank the plug out of the wall, no more of these symptoms will pop up. And that's how you know you actually got at the source of the problem, not just the symptom of the problem. So if you're finding that in your business, that you're doing something consistently and you solve it, but it doesn't really do something that you're looking for, it doesn't give you the results you're looking for, there's a good chance you're trying to solve the wrong problem. Step back, look at it. Just like my client, see what you can change structurally in your business. Perhaps an example is if you're making prospecting calls, but you're not using clear scripts, switch over to using clear scripts.
So Byron, to wrap things up today, what is your best takeaway for our listeners?
Most people suggest that you visualize your goals. This is an important part, and it's clearly something that works. Yet you need to know it's not enough. The big thing I want you to take away from today is that there's something even more important that you need to add to the visualization of your goals. And that is you want to focus on how great you will feel once you achieve your goal. So visualize your goals and then go one step further and focus on how great you will feel once you achieve your goal. Visualization is the process as you're going through to get to the end result. The feeling is about what it will feel like once you achieve your goal. So this gives you a focus on the back end, in other words, the part where you've actually accomplished the goal. So the combination of those two together is very powerful.
We have been visiting today with Byron Van Arsdale. He's a master certified coach and he's the head of the coaching team at realestatecoach.com. And he's just explained how to keep your New Year's resolutions and to hit your quarterly business goals. Byron, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for MN Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit MN.com. Make it a great day.